The curious paradox is that when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change. Carl Rogers. We often think we have to change before we're able to love ourselves. But actually, it's the opposite. The more we love ourselves, the easier it is to change. Hello, and welcome back to my podcast. Today, I am interviewing my client and friend, Crystal Bevilacqua. And she will be sharing her story that's going to illustrate this quote exactly from Carl Rogers and this idea that we have to change before we're able to love ourselves. And I'm really excited because she drops so many pearls of wisdom in this interview, and I hope that you enjoy it. Okay. Welcome to the podcast, Crystal. I'm so happy to interview you because you are such an amazing person. So do you want to start telling us a little bit about you?
So this was, out of all the questions you sent me, this was the hardest one for me to answer because I'm like, I'm just me. I kind of feel like I'm like a Jill of all trades sort of person. I like so many things. I love learning. I always say that I'm a major history nerd. Like, I love history and historical clothing. I kind of dive into a lot of historical clothing and like British period dramas. And
so fun.
I also love traveling and art. I feel like I'm just very creative in general. I love music. A new hobby for me right now, well, a newer hobby for me, is I'm getting into plants. It's kind of something I've been having fun with. I used to always kill plants, and so it's been fun to actually keep some plants alive. And I'm a mom to 4 very energetic kids, which I'm hoping they aren't super loud so they don't show up on the audio, but if they are, that's just how it is with my life with my 4 kids.
Yeah, my kids might be on ours too because they're all home right now. So, too. Yeah. Well, you are definitely a creative person. So I'm glad that you remember to say that about you.
<'Cause> there's a chance I might forget.
Totally true. Totally true. Okay. So, what made you decide to hire a coach? I know you've worked with like other coaches and stuff in the past. So I guess more specifically, what made you decide to hire a coach again, like, and start to work with me?
Yeah. So my previous experience with coaching was kind of more in a group setting. I mean, I also got some individual coaching along with it, but it was like a set program for a certain amount of weeks, and we were focused on like a very specific topic, and it was really great. I loved it. It was kind of my first, not kind of, it was my first time really doing something along those lines, and I just loved it. And I did that in 2018. And I kind of had left it at that, but then, you know, 2020 hit.
Yeah.
And it was like 2020 for me, along with the pandemic, it was just a very stressful year. My 2 of my kids got diagnosed with different diagnoses. One of them was diagnosed as autistic and ADHD, and another one was diagnosed with ADHD. And because of that, then I also got a late diagnosis of ADHD. Mm. And it felt like so many things had changed, and I felt like I had kind of peeled back some layers at the beginning from my first experience, that it was time for me to tackle life with all of these new challenges that had been thrown at me, right?
Yeah.
Because not only with the pandemic and all these big diagnoses that were given to our family. Like I hit my midlife, like I felt like I hit my midlife crisis too. I don't know. It was just like I just really felt like there's so many things came at me all at once, and so I just needed some extra support in remembering some of the things that I had been doing before, and I needed kind of an outside influence to help me make sure that I would have time for myself. Like just knowing that I would at least have like a coaching call with you, it was a guarantee for at least like an hour of me time a week that I wasn't always really good about scheduling in other times. So yeah, I just felt like I really needed some support for this like new stage in my life to process all of the things that had been going on and work through so many things that kind of hit me all at once.
Yeah, that's a really good explanation. Like, the midlife crisis is real, for sure. And it so just coincidentally coincided with like COVID and the pandemic. So it's like, wow, this is really fun. This is
I mean,
really
my
great.
40th birthday was in March of 2020. So
Seriously.
it was just kind of, I don't know, it was like, what happened?
I know, and we are exactly a year and a day apart. So, yeah, I was like kind of right there with you then, and yeah. Yeah, and I love how you described just like coaching being like a dedicated hour of pretty much like self-care. Like really, like that's and support. Like that's really good way to describe it because I feel the same as that. So, okay. So I remember that we like I went back through the emails and so I wanted to like be sure that what we determined for your goal at, you know, when we first started for your 6 month coaching package was for you to feel secure in your worth as a person, that it wasn't tied to your weight or your looks or what you like do or accomplish. And so I just wanted to hear your thoughts on like how that evolved for you and how that like came to pass.
So I think I mean, I'm assuming this is probably similar in some ways for every human being on the planet that sometimes, at least in our culture, there seems to very much be an emphasis on productivity and producing things and, you know, have to have your side hustle and being very goal-oriented in some ways. And then, you know, throw on all the extra layers as a woman of what we're socialized with for all of the things that we're supposed to be as like a mom and a woman and a friend and a wife and all of those, and how we're supposed to look and act. And I just found I kind of was drowning under all of the weight of these expectations. And so for me, like the first layer of peeling that back was when I started that first coaching program in 2018, when I learned about like intuitive eating, and it was really just focused on, as a program, just focused on like getting in touch with me and just healing some of those like really deep wounds that were there. Just from a lifetime of hearing that my worth as a woman was based on I look and how, what my weight is. And, you know, especially, I don't know if it was especially bad, like in the like 90s and 2000s when it was like everyone was super stick thin. But it was just, I don't know. I felt like it was just such a very, very difficult time that was like waif thin bodies was the thing to aspire to. And that's not me. I've always been athletic. And so from a fairly young age, even when I was healthy, I went to the doctors, and because I was like healthy and athletic and muscular, the scale would say like I was overweight. Yeah. And so from the time I was a teenager or even like a tween, I started having doctors telling me that so much of my health problems were due to my weight. Mm. And I was, you know, but then they're like, but your blood work looks great. Everything looks great. Like I was very active. And so, but it was just kind of like, oh, the scale is saying this, you need to lose weight. Cause if you're having health problems, it's cause you're, you know, you have too much weight on you. Yeah. And I just really picked up on this message of like, in order to have the life I wanted, I needed to look a certain way and be a certain weight. And I couldn't, at some point I just kind of got this idea that like, I kind of couldn't have the peace I was searching for in my life until I had achieved like this magical, mystical weight, you know?
Yeah.
Cause then if I finally lost weight, then maybe doctors would stop telling me that my health problems were from my weight. And I could wear the clothes I would want to wear, because I'm not allowed to wear clothes that I want to wear because I'm not thin. I don't know. Just, you know, these are all these ideas that I picked up. And so I guess for me, the first part of it was just kind of started in 2018 when I was just like, no, I don't believe that anymore. And I started just doing intuitive eating and not really worrying about what outside influences were telling me. And I actually did lose a lot of weight. I just was kind of living life, but I lost weight and I felt great. And then 2020 hit and stressed, and I gained weight back, and it kind of peeled back this new layer of hurt because I started feeling really frustrated with myself that I had lost weight and here it was coming back, and I had to confront this new, layer of who do I want to be and what do I want to have, like be true for me. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, do I really want to buy into this idea that's still kind of following me around? And I guess like through working with you, it really helped me finally achieve some of that inner peace and freedom that I had started but needed to find on a new, deeper level. Mm. And I realized that just like through working with you and the things that we talked about and coming to just love and accept me as I am and my, you know, and all my humanness. Mm-hmm. That I finally found that freedom and peace that I had been searching for, that I thought I was going to find if I could get my body to conform to a certain way of being. And now, like, my body doesn't look like anything that I thought it would have had to look like to have that inner peace. But I found a lot of what I was searching for. And so, not saying that things are super easy because it's, life, but I don't carry around like the burden of outside judgment with me anymore. Like, I'm not judging myself based off of what is someone else going to think about me? What are they going to think if I show up like this? Every once in a while, sometimes those thoughts creep back in because old habits die hard. But I'm able to look at those thoughts and just be like, oh, hi. What are you doing here? You can go now. I don't need you anymore, and those thoughts and feelings are very fleeting. They don't stick around like they used to be, like they used to. They don't rule my life like they used to.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I remember you went to a concert while we were coaching, and we had our coaching session like a few days after your concert, and I just remember like you were explaining how you felt like about being there and like just really being like in your body and being comfortable in your body, like in public and like dancing and just feeling so free. And I just loved that so much for you. Like, and I felt like that was like a pivotal moment too for you to just be like, yeah, like I'm really doing this work. Like it's really making a difference. Like I feel good. So I don't know if that was if you still feel that way about that concert, but
Yeah, well, I'm, the way that I used to think and the way, like, kind of the messaging that I picked up on, I would have almost felt like I almost didn't deserve to take up space at that concert, like that I can have fun and it's okay, but at the back of my mind, it's always like, oh, why are you enjoying yourself? Because you're carrying around extra weight and you need to lose some weight. You're not allowed to fully have fun until you get rid of that extra weight. Because that extra weight is what's really holding you back. And, I just kind of realized, like, well, there was extra weight holding me back, but it was just the weight of like society's expectations and all of these outside judgments on me that's like, I don't need that. Like, that's not the weight that I need to get rid of. Like, that's the weight I need to get rid of. Like, my body is mine no matter what. It doesn't matter what size it is. Like, the weight I needed to drop was the weight of society telling me what to do.
Yes, absolutely. And then I also remember you went to DC or New York or both, right? You went
Both, yeah.
both. Okay. And yeah, you had a really good experience there too, just like really feeling comfortable with your relationship with food and like eating all like, the good food, but like stopping when you needed to, like you felt like you wanted to stop, but still enjoying all the food. And I remember that experience for you too, as you were telling me about it, like just, it felt like you, that was another pivotal moment, I think, for you, or experience where like you really embodied what you were learning and that wasn't like a struggle for you. So if you want to speak more to that as well.
Yeah, well, for so much of my life, I had been kind of following diets or feeling guilt about if the food I was eating wasn't like perfectly healthy. Like eating a burger but feeling guilty for eating a burger. And so like what intuitive eating gave me, what working with you gave me, and just like working through a lot of just a lot of those messages. Like another place that I really like to get information from is like Beauty Redefined. That's another place that I turn to for like support in overcoming body image things. It was just kind of, I'd be so consumed with like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna eat? Like food was just such a, it was like an obsessive thought for me. Like when am I gonna eat? What am I gonna eat? When I would eat something, I'd feel guilty for eating something, and then I'd think that I'd have to just wait until I was just starving because that's what you're supposed to do. Or then I'd feel bad if I was hungry like a couple of hours after eating because, like, oh, I'm supposed to eat and then not get hungry again, because you see those messages like what to eat so you don't get hungry. And just realizing like that's kind of not the purpose of food or what your body is designed to do. Like food is fuel to live your life, and it you like you get hungry because you're living life, and like it was just really helpful for me to just to lose all of those outside things telling me what I should and shouldn't do, and just be able to be like, oh, you know what? I'm feeling hungry. We should probably find some food. And then eat food, and then I'm good to go. And I enjoy food when I eat it. But then, like, when I'm full, I'm good, and it's off to another adventure. And it's just so much mental free. Like, it freed up so much mental space for me to enjoy life and to not judge myself and to just accept, like, wait, this is how bodies are supposed to work. Like, I'm supposed to get hungry because I'm alive, and I'm supposed to feel hunger because my body needs fuel. And so, yeah, it was just fun, like, eating good food in New York and not, and in DC and not feeling guilty about what I picked. Like, it made it easy, like, oh, I need to eat. Like, what's something that we can eat? Like, instead of having to try to find a salad, it's like, oh, look, I need some protein and stuff. Let's grab a Five Guys burger. Just something easy that it just freed up my ability to enjoy myself more than anything.
Gave you more mental space.
Yeah, well, to just, just to be able to be present in the moment, because I know that I don't have to worry about what I'm going to do if I get hungry, because I know that if I get hungry, well, I can just eat, and it doesn't matter what I eat as long as I get some food. And so it just freed up so much mental energy. And so when I'm in a museum, I could enjoy being in a museum. And when I'm, walking across the Brooklyn Bridge, I can enjoy that because I know I'm going to get pizza in Brooklyn when I get across the bridge. And just really made it so that like I could really enjoy the things I was seeing and doing.
I have to interject here too because I forgot to say this in the beginning, but so we have like so much, in common because our birthdays are a day apart. So a lot of our astrology is and human design stuff is similar. And then also, my Sicilian grandfather, so this just reminded me because you're talking about the Brooklyn Bridge. Like he was born in Brooklyn. His parents, were born in Sicily and they immigrated to Brooklyn. And you have lived in Sicily and your husband's Sicilian and your children are half Sicilian. And so, yeah, that's also very fun.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I would count it as living. I've spent quite a bit of time in Sicily. The longest I've been there is about 3 months. But, if I added it all up, I have definitely been in Sicily for several months at this point of my life.
Anyways, that's fun too. But yeah, so just freeing up mental space, helping you to be more present and just more comfortable with your body and all of the good things that you just said. So we talked a lot about, your relationship with yourself.
And I remember we had a pretty impactful tapping session about not rejecting yourself. And so I just wanted to ask you, what does it look like for you now? Because I know that's something that you worked on and that we worked on was not rejecting yourself. Like, so what does it look like to not reject yourself and to accept yourself?
So, you know, there's a lot to this. But I think for me, it really boils down to am I tuned in to myself and in being aware of what it is that I need? And then when I do things, I'm not doing anything out of like just obligation or guilt. That like I'm making conscious choices based off of you know what I'm needing in the moment. I was thinking like an example of this. My 8-year-old twins especially, they love to cuddle me at night to go to sleep. And it's really fun and it's cute and I enjoy spending time with them at the end of the day. But sometimes I am just a bit touched out or tired and I need some alone time. And you know, I just don't necessarily have reserves there to cuddle them and to be present with them. And so I guess the old version of me would have been like, oh, my kids are asking for me. I need to go and do this. And I would go and do it and enjoy spending time with them, but I might start to just build up resentment or deplete myself even more to the point where I would just, you know, I would be really short and cranky with the kids during the day, which it kind of defeats the purpose of cuddling with them and being cute at night. And so there's times where I'm like, they'll ask me, I'll be like, you know what? I can cuddle you tomorrow, but tonight I'm not going to be able to. Or if I do cuddle them, I might just give them a time frame because I think if they could have their pick, they would like co-sleep with me in a gigantic bed because that's like their favorite. You know, the kids like my bed. I really like soft beds, and so then they do too, apparently. So, you know, their ideal would be to sleep in the bed with me, and that would be their ideal. I'm like, nope, I need my space. But there have been times where they've asked me, and like I might do a quick check-in, and maybe I am a bit tired or something, but then I see like, oh, they're really having a hard time calming down. And so I can make the conscious choice like, well, I have taken time for myself the past few nights, even though my initial reaction would be like to say like, nope, I just want some alone time. I can see that it would benefit everyone for them to actually go to sleep. So I'm in a place where I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit of that alone time to make sure that they go to sleep so that I'm not like getting annoyed that they're goofing off and playing around. But I'm still making that choice consciously, and
That's so important.
I'm not making it because I'm feeling obligated to have to do that.
Yes, that is so. Ah, I love that you just said that. That is so huge. Like making that actual conscious choice is, huge.
So I think that for me, like to just keep it easy, it really just comes down to, am I picking things consciously, you know? And am I doing things to nurture myself consciously? Like, am I making sure to take time to do the things that like replenish me, or am I getting too wrapped up in scrolling social media or something, you know? And just some of those things that can be easy to just kind of get stuck on autopilot. And so just trying to make those choices from a conscious place.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. So that's how you would answer that question. Like, it looks like being more conscious and making conscious choices is how you accept yourself and not reject yourself.
Yeah, because as long as I'm being conscious about what I'm doing, I can own up to the choice I've made.
Yeah.
You know, then it, like, there's not going to be a sense of, like, I mean, I guess really just resentment, especially towards family members or whatever, that, like, I can't believe they're asking this of me. But if I'm not even being conscious of what I need or making time to, like, advocate for myself for what I need, it's not really necessarily their fault if I haven't actively been trying to be conscious of myself. Like, if I'm not even aware of myself, how can I expect them to be? And so,
yes,
just really trying to make sure that I'm taking the time and effort to be aware of where I am, where my mental state is, you know, all of those things, so that I can make those conscious choices and show up in a better way within my life.
That is so good. Yeah, perfectly described. Okay. Kind of going back to, like, the body stuff again, but I remember, like, there are so many times where, like, you would say something and I would be like, wait, stop, say that again, because it was so good. Like, you just drop so many, like, beautiful, like, wisdom, like pearls of wisdom, like, all the times, and this was one of them. I asked you what determines if you are healthy or not, and you said, if I'm listening to my body. And that was so powerful, and I even, like, quoted you, I think, on, like, I made, like, a quote on social media about it, because I was like, this is,
yeah,
so good.
I remember. Yes, you posted about me in your Instagram,
yeah,
account. That, yeah, yep. Now, yes, I remember.
I was like, this is, yeah, a quote from Crystal, because this is so good. But yes, I mean, so many people, like you said, you know, because of our society and how we're conditioned, you know, determine their health based on how they look. So if you could just tell a little bit more, I mean, you've kind of already spoke to this, but if there's anything more you want to say about how you really came to know and understand that for yourself.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, I really didn't have any idea just how disconnected I was from my body until I started making a conscious effort to figure myself out and to become connected to my body. It, you know, it might sound really weird, but, like, I didn't even fully grasp and understand how to tell if I was hungry or if I was full. I had, yeah, just gotten so used to outside voices telling me, like, this is how much you should eat, and, you know, this is your portion size, it's your serving size, and this is what you eat, and you are, like, this is how many calories you have, or, you know, all of those things. I didn't even know how to tell if I was hungry or not. And then, and it made more sense, especially once I got my late diagnosis of ADHD, because it can also be really hard with ADHD to be aware of, like, our body cues until they become really obvious. And so I would just go hours without eating because, you know, I wouldn't notice, like, subtle hunger cues that I was getting hungry. Or I would get really focused on something and I wouldn't want to stop, because if I stop, then I might not get back into it.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like, no, I have to finish painting this room before I can take a break to eat, because if I don't finish the room, I'm not ever going to finish painting.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so, like, just between ADHD and being a woman and all of these things, I just had such disordered eating and such a disordered way of relating to myself. And I felt like I had to push myself until I dropped. And that's, there's a real, I hope maybe it's changing, but it for a long time it felt like there was a real, almost like a badge of honor for how much you can do on how, like, on the least amount of sleep, like
Oh
who
yeah.
sleeps less, and
Yeah.
how much you can deny your physical needs
Yep.
to take part in, like, whatever it is that you're doing, like work or school or whatever. And so, yeah, for me, it's just really become about listening to my body and just being like, oh, you know what? I'm actually hungry right now. I probably should grab a string cheese, or need to take 10 minutes here to eat, or oh, I need to drink some water because I forget to drink water at times until I'm like super thirsty.
Yeah.
Thanks to, ADHD, like I realize, oh, it's been a several hours since I drank water. I should probably do that. And so, and even with sleep, like sleep is a big thing that I've struggled with for a long time. And really working to make sure that I get sleep. And that includes that there's time, I've started giving myself permission to take cat naps because this seems to be one of the ways that I need to recharge,
Yeah.
and not feeling guilty for it. And frequently when I take those cat naps, I'm so much more productive than if I had just tried to force myself to keep going, or if I had just tried to drink like two or three Diet Dr. Peppers and
Yeah.
push through. And even on the, like, as for the physical thing, like I have really bad knees, and like when I was 20, I had a second knee surgery, and my doctor at the time, when he looked at my X-rays, he's like, I've never seen such old knees on such a young person. He's like, you have the knees of a 60-year-old. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's not good. And
No.
so, like, while I would love to be doing things that are really intense, like I kind of just can't. Like my knee won't let me.
Yeah.
And so finding ways to exercise that don't hurt my knee. And there's times where it's just like, you know what? My knee just hurts too bad. I can't do anything. Like there's times where it hurts so bad even like yoga can bother it. And so just accepting, like, yeah, I just have to listen to my knee. There's like a storm coming in and my knee's really aching and I just need to nurture it a little bit more, stay off my feet more, back off a little bit more than I would like to. My spirit is like I've got this energy that I want to get out, but sometimes my body just is like, no, you gotta rest. Like your poor knees need it. And so, yeah, just really listening to all of that, because and coming to accept that health for me is, it's so much more than just like the scale, like the number on the scale, or what size my pants are. Like, it's, am I doing things that feel nurturing to myself?
Yeah, absolutely. So good. So I'm just going to repeat that again. So the way to determine if you are healthy or not is if you are listening to your body. So good. Everyone quote Crystal because it's so good. Such a good quote.
Thanks.
And that's another thing we have in common is loving naps and also ADHD. I mean, I was diagnosed with ADD, but that was like 20 years ago, so I don't know. Maybe my diagnosis has changed, but it's another thing we have in common, so yay. Yay for that.
We're kindred spirits.
Know. Okay, so I actually did your human design reading before we started working together for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that already about you right off the bat, which was so good. So we could really like focus our coaching on like you, like exactly who you are, right? With all of your mm-hmm. like strengths and how you're designed. So if you want to share anything about how learning your human design, how it helped strengthen your relationship with yourself and have more compassion. I know you have probably different feelings about this too with your profile, but.
Well, I know I messaged you. I've told you this a lot. Sometimes I get annoyed with my profile. Yeah. But just understanding that aspect of it, like understanding that line five, the there's that energetic mirror mm-hmm. aspect to my personality.
Yeah.
It definitely helps me have a lot more compassion and understanding for myself, especially if like in general I feel like for the most part, I tend to not have too many issues like out in the world. But if I ever do have, you know, like a run in with someone and I'm like, whoa, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
It helps it make a lot more sense. just because understanding that it's kind of, you know, it's almost more of a like projection energy, right? Like,
yeah.
That's where that's coming from, because you know, I kind of just want to like everyone, and so even though I do get frustrated, you know, I just in general I'm kind of like, oh, I just want to. I feel a bit like a hippie at times. Like, can we just all love each other?
Yes.
I don't know. So yeah, it definitely helps me with these misunderstandings or interactions with people if it doesn't go well. Since what is it, like the line five is like one of the most misunderstood.
Yes. Yep.
Ones. Yeah. So yeah, it definitely hurts, but you know, it helps too, to understand that that's what's going on for me.
Yeah. It gives you some context of like, yeah.
Yeah. That it's really not about me. As long as I know that I've been doing my best to show up in a way that I'm okay with, you know, like I could understand if I was going out and being rude all the time, but
yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's not really what I do. So
right. It's not you.
Yeah.
What about like your type, like being a generator and like, you know, how you operate with your energy that way, or like being an emotional authority, like how did that help you develop self-compassion?
Yeah, well, I'd say especially with the generator, it was really, really helpful for me to understand that the generator, like the strategy is to respond,
mm-hmm.
Like that you kind of have to have something to respond to, because there's been so many times where I've been like, oh, I have all this energy, I have all these things, but I kind of don't know what to do with it, and I've, you know, I don't necessarily feel like I have that whole like get up and go and conquer the world feeling.
Yeah.
But I still have energy, but I have a hard time directing it at times. But if I'm presented with a question, like, you know, like it's easier for me to answer a, do you want Mexican food or Italian food, rather than what do you want for food?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so understanding that about me, like understanding that having more directed questions, it's helped me have more compassion for myself, because there's times where I'm like, how do I not know But then if like something's proposed, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh wait, no, I don't want pizza, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, what do you want for food dinner? I don't know. Let's get pizza. No, I don't really want pizza. Like, then I'd feel bad. Like, oh my gosh, am I just being difficult? It's, you know, there's times like I really, and then there's sometimes when I really just don't have much of a, you know, I really am okay with like whatever. I'm like, yeah, I don't really care too much about whatever, you know, whatever's in front of me. Like, I'm really fine with whatever. But yeah, just understanding that has helped me not be so annoyed with myself.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
When I'm, you know, when I feel like I can't, that I can't, like, you know, come up with an answer out of the top of my head. Like, if I'm, you know, someone says, like, oh, do you want to watch a movie? Sure. What movie? I don't know. But then if I'm told, like, do you want to watch a comedy movie or a drama movie? It's, like, it's.
Yeah.
I just kind of need narrower categories to make my choices and make decisions.
Yeah. And that's exactly an emotional authority, a generator with an emotional authority. Like, you really need to respond to specific, like, yes or no questions. Open-ended questions are really frustrating for emotional authorities and generators, and you're both. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and also, like, especially for the emotional authority, too, that was also really helpful to learn, because for a long time, I felt like I kind of had to not be emotional. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we do get the message that it's bad to be emotional, that
yeah,
it's you know, especially for women.
Yes.
Like, you know, how it's really bad to be an emotional woman, and especially if you have an emotion that's anything other than pleasant.
Right.
And so, like, I, you know, I've always kind of had a tendency to cry, but for a long time I would try to hide it, because I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm embarrassed, I'm crying. But then, you know, 2020 hit, and I've like gotten in touch with my inner emotions, mm-hmm. and I'm like a total crier now, and I'm just like, oh, this is just me.
Yeah.
Like, in fact, I'm amazed I didn't even cry during this. Like, I thought I was gonna cry.
That's okay, you totally can. There's still yeah. time. There's still time.
Right. I mean, it's true. We're not done yet. I might bring out the waterworks still. But just being okay with feeling my emotions, and like all of my emotions, like just getting in touch with understanding what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing, and like tapping into that power of emotion and the information that it can give me. It's been really helpful. I mean, not only has it helped me be more compassionate with myself when I am having an emotion or feeling emotional, but it's also helping me like with my kids and to like coach them about emotions. And, you know, I'm try to be very verbal with them when I'm feeling emotional. Like, they'll talk about something like, you know, if they ask me questions sometimes about my dad, and they're like, Mom, is this going to make you cry? I'm like, no, I'm okay talking about this, but it's okay if I cry anyway. It doesn't mean that it's bad if I cry. It just, you know, it means I love my dad and I miss him. And
yeah,
just being able to help talk them through and coach them about just all the various emotions and how to handle them. Yeah, it's been really powerful and nice to have that understanding for me.
Yeah. So good. Okay. So one of my favorite things about our time coaching together was really being able to see you like really deeply and clearly, and obviously your human design chart helped me with that, but then to just reflect that back to you and remind you of your magnificence and your brilliance, like that was like my favorite thing to do as your coach, because you were just so gifted and talented and so intuitive, and you were discounting yourself from, you know, being able to own that you were intuitive and that you could trust yourself. And so it's been so amazing seeing you like evolve and really own that. Like, yeah, I actually really am intuitive, and yeah, I can trust myself. And that has been so, so beautiful. So I just love being able to do that for you. Thanks. And seeing you in that way.
Yeah, I definitely have had a habit for a very long time of discounting myself and distrusting myself and not leaning into some of those gifts that I, so, you know, I'm so grateful that I've been able to have that, like, woken back up in me through working with you.
Yeah. Okay, so one final question. We did private coaching for 6 months, and now you are in the Soulful Woman community and the membership, my coaching membership. So what would you say are the main differences between like private and group coaching, and what has been your experience with both?
So, I mean, obviously with private coaching, it's nice that it's so individualized, you know?
Yeah.
Like I get that full hour to talk to you one-on-one about just me, and you know, it's just so focused on me. What I've been really loving about the group coaching is I love doing, you know, when you teach us about a certain aspect of, you know, like when we talk about like full moons or new moons and rituals or what each of the astrological signs like represent.
Yeah.
Or when you have us do like breathing exercises or grounding exercises, it's kind of fun that it feels almost like a, you know, like a mini class that we're learning something. And then I really love being able to hear from other women, mm-hmm. and hearing about what they're experiencing. I found that every single, like, whether I ask for help on coaching or not, I still get stuff out of every session. And like, I take notes through every coaching session, because without fail, someone says something that I'm like, oh, this is something I need to look at for me.
Yeah.
Or I'm having a, you know, this is something I've been wondering about for myself too. And so I just really like that, like, I'm able to hear things that I might not have come up with on my own, but it's still things that I am like, oh yeah, this is definitely something I needed to hear, or this is some insight that was really helpful for me today. And it, just seeing that there's other women going through similar experiences, and it's, you know, it's nice to see that there's like a community, like you don't feel quite so lonely.
Yeah. Isn't that so cool how that happens? Like where you're like, oh, I actually needed to hear that anyways. So like, that's exactly what I wanted to get coached on, you know, like, it's so cool how that happens. I love that.
Every single time I'm like, oh man, this is so great. I needed this today too.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. Well, like any final things about like, I mean, you talk so much about, you know, your relationship with yourself improving, you know, this whole time, if there's anything else you want to say to that or anything else at all.
I don't know. I think I've talked so much. I feel like we've covered a lot.
It's all been so good.
But, you know, I just can see how taking this time for myself and learning about these things for me, it's definitely helped me just overall in my life to be more of who I wanted to be in general. Mm-hmm. Like I've always been drawn to understanding myself better and learning more about myself. Like I loved like personality tests, and I love psychology. Like I really enjoyed, I took a psychology class even in high school and then in college. And so these are all things that I've always been interested in anyway, but, I feel like I've finally, you know, like through working with you and all the different places that you draw information from, I've been able to find like a lot of the things that really resonate with me and feel like, I've just been able to find a deeper understanding about myself. And so I'm better able to like be who I've always wanted to be.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad for that. That's such a gift to really feel like you can step into that. So, so good. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
After recording this interview with Crystal, she wanted me to add an addendum. She says, "My life isn't just easy now. But coaching has helped me cast off the conditioning that kept me from being able to utilize my strengths, and now I can more easily access them when challenges do come up. I also don't resist the challenges themselves as much when I bump up against them."
I want to let you know the three ways that you can work with me. The first one is to work with me one-on-one for 6 months for private coaching, where we meet every week via Zoom or a phone call, and we talk really about whatever you want. This is a very unique and specifically tailored to your wants and needs. The second way is to join my coaching membership, The Soulful Woman, and it is a monthly membership. We also meet weekly, where we go over a specific topic every month that correlates with the sun and moon signs and what is happening in the cosmos for us, and also other topics such as self-love and people-pleasing and tapping into your own intuition, trusting yourself, building up your relationship with yourself. And then the third way is to book a human design reading with me. And that is a 90-minute reading where I will need your birthday, your time of birth, and the place of your birth. And I pull up your human design chart, and then I will explain it all to you very simply. There's a lot of info, and it can be very confusing. So people that have had readings from me have said that I have explained it very succinctly for them and in a way that is easy to understand. And then I coach you through other things that come up. Sometimes in these readings, people get really emotional because I pull up your gene keys as well, which is in correlation with your human design chart. And it can really illustrate your core wounding and also your core strengths. And to hear someone else like recognize this in you only based on your birth time is so freeing and really validating. And then I can coach you if this is something that you've know deep within you that this is your dream, this is your goal, this is your mission in life. And then you have been resisting that, or people have been opposing your attempts to try to figure it out. Then this is a session where I can gently guide you into stepping into that. So you can reach out to me at Deanna@thesoulfulwoman.co to email me and book a reading or request any information about any of that. Are you on Instagram?
Come follow me at thesoulfulwoman_ for some more goodness, and you can also subscribe to my email list. There's a link in my profile for that. See you soon!